This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ sitting in for Maggie, who's on vacation. I'm sure she is on a couch watching the Masters as we speak. They've teed off in Augusta. A lot of pressure. Rory McIlroy trying to finally win to break through. He tees off at 1:12 p.m. We'll have updates throughout the day. Shortly, we're supposed to talk to Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL draft expert. So the guy that everyone is focused on, EJ, is Shedeur Sanders.
Yep.
He is in Pittsburgh today, reportedly, visiting with the Steelers. Can you imagine? The Steelers are already a high-profile team. They get Shedeur. It's a no-brainer that they are 5 primetime games, right?
Yeah, definitely.
You don't even need Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. If Aaron Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh, we got into this yesterday, and Shedeur is there, how is that going to play out? Because it does feel like Aaron Rodgers' only option is Pittsburgh, and it does now feel like there's a great chance Pittsburgh can take a shot, maybe trade up a few spots and get Shedeur Sanders. How would you see it playing out ultimately?
Potentially badly. I don't love that fit. Now, look, if he's there and they have a chance to get him, they have to get him. They got to draft a quarterback here, and I think he's the second-best quarterback in this draft. But I don't like the circus of Aaron Rodgers combined with the circus of Shedeur Sanders, which is really more of a circus of Deion Sanders and what that brings, right?
Right.
Like, if Aaron Rodgers is there, that means he's sitting there starting at quarterback, and Shedeur is looking over his shoulder, and Deion's looking over his shoulder, and that puts a lot of pressure on Rodgers and the Steelers to then win big. I don't think if they're a 500 team or a team that's kind of skating by to get to the playoffs, that's not going to please those Steeler fans. That's not going to please a lot of the NFL nation. Well, I think mm-hmm. when Rodgers gets there, there's going to be a lot of hoopla. And then it's going to become, when is Shedeur going to get in there? And we want to see Shedeur. And then that becomes a whole conversation. And I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the kind of guy that handles controversy, handles criticism very well. I think I have some clues to suggest that that's the case. So if the city turns on him very quickly and is looking for Shedeur Sanders, he's not going to be handling that well. If Deion Sanders opens his mouth and says, hey, why is my son not playing? He's not going to handle that well, and I don't think that Mike Tomlin's a miracle worker. He can't get all of these elements in check. He's had problems with just Antonio Browns of the world, and he's having problems with the George Pickens of the world.
Yeah, who has not had problems with the Antonio Browns? The world's had trouble with Antonio Brown. Yes, of course he's had. Everyone's had trouble with AB. Let me just give you a pro Steelers alternative here. What if Shedeur Sanders pushes Aaron Rodgers to be his best? Not just during the season. Means Shedeur is floating around. Aaron goes to the offseason workouts, which actually begin before the draft, April 21st in Pittsburgh. What if Aaron is not screwing around somewhere during, like he kind of did in New York in June, and he's actually with the team? What if Aaron is on his P's and Q's because Shedeur is there?
That's definitely a scenario that's possible. I guess the only counter I would have is I haven't seen that really push Aaron Rodgers for a little while, right? When we first saw them draft Jordan Love in Green Bay, we saw what happened. Aaron Rodgers put up one of his best, maybe his best seasons of his career. But when he got to New York, there was a lot to prove, a lot of pressure. And and he was pushed to be himself, and he didn't get a chance maybe to prove it because he got hurt. But I don't know. I don't know if that's necessarily going to be the answer. Now, I will say this is the last stop for Aaron Rodgers. I think it wherever happens with the Steelers, he's not going to play anywhere else.
Assuming he, you're saying if he does go there.
Yes, which I think he will. This is the last stop. So to me, that's the biggest motivation of anything is, look, you're not going to be in the NFL if you don't get this thing right. Because other teams, sure, they didn't want him. Like, no one... The Steelers are the only team, really, and the Giants were the only teams that really seemed to be seriously interested. The Vikings looked and said, ah, no thanks. So I think he knows this is his last stop. So that could be the motivation is, hey, if I want to end my career not with that jet stain, let me do something here with the Steelers.
It's interesting we're talking about this. The topic of the day has been bad trades. After Luka Doncic returned to Dallas last night, torched the Mavericks, as you'd expect, 45 points. Aaron Rodgers to the Jets. You put that in the list of all-time bad trades.
Yes, definitely. You have to. Because the Jets, when they traded for Aaron Rodgers, the goal was to compete for a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't come close. The first year, he got hurt, and they won 7 games. And then last year, he's healthy, or at least he plays throughout the season, and they win 5. So it was these 2 years have been a disaster. He left the program way worse than they were when he got there, which is impossible because it's the Jets. But it's a reality. Everyone's fired.
It's funny because there were some conditional picks in that, and I don't think Rodgers hit those conditions.
Yeah, because it could have been a first, but he didn't play. So right. Like, that, no, so it would be a second round pick.
You brought up earlier the Deshaun Watson trade, which to me, I said is a different situation. Luka was a straight-up trade where both teams thought they were getting winning players.
Right.
Houston had to get rid of Deshaun Watson. A, he was already in trouble. B, before he was in trouble, he said, I'm not playing for this owner. He did not like him. So that was much more of a free agency situation to me. I don't put it on the same list. I think Russell Wilson to the Broncos is on a lot of these lists.
Yeah.
To me, it's the all-timer, the one that is worth documentaries, is Herschel Walker going from Dallas to Minnesota, gives Dallas the picks to build the 90s team. I just think that's the sort of signature. That's the Babe Ruth trade of the NFL.
I have a question for you, though, when it comes to trades, because one of the things we haven't really talked about, no caller has, is what about the trades that involve draft picks?
Right.
So, like, let's say, for example, like Kobe Bryant was traded. We forget, but he was...
Right, but there was a reason.
Right, and Dirk Nowitzki was traded. And the NFL, same thing, right? You know, Ricky Williams was actually going to be a bad trade. That's one of the worst trades of all time, but it's a draft trade, right? Like, how do they fit into this? Because I think you could make the case that there are other trades that we're not even thinking about where draft picks got traded. Scottie Pippen landed with the Bulls because of
Seahawks. Yeah, for Holden Polynes. Yeah, Seahawks.
The Sonics. Traded him.
Well, so, Kobe, so though, could you put Kobe on the list? Because Kobe said, do not draft me if you are not purple and gold. He was basically said, I'm not playing for you, to the Nets and to other teams.
Yeah.
I mean, Kobe fell to 13, right? And they traded that pay. Vlade was part of that deal with the Hornets.
Yeah, I guess the only thing would be if you were any of those teams, like, why wouldn't you just call their bluff? Like,
we're getting into a whole other topic. But yeah, Kobe, people called Kobe a draft bargain because he fell into the teens. He didn't fall into the teens. He pushed himself, which we brought up today with Shador Sanders. Lewis Riddick of ESPN said maybe Shador would be better off falling. I think, by the way, there's a guy next year, Arch Manning, could be in the draft next year. He's a guy who could say, don't draft me at number one. I want to fall to number four. I think he's already a millionaire many times over. His parents are rich. What does he care about being the number one overall pick? I think there are some exceptional situations when you're talking about draft day trades.
And we've seen it happen with other family members, right? I mean, his one of his uncles, when he wasn't promised a starting spot with the Jets, said, all right, I'm going to go back to college. And then the other uncle was like, I'm not going to San Diego. Send me to New York. So we've seen the Manning family use that playbook to go where they want. So I think you're absolutely right.
But and the funny thing, too, by the way, they have, if Arch does go pro next year, my theory is that he'll play 2 years at Texas. I really believe that there's a great chance he doesn't go pro. He's still very young. He has a connection to the Giants with Eli. He has a connection to New Orleans Saints. He's from New Orleans. Yep. And he has a huge connection to the Cleveland Browns because the Haslams are good friends with the Mannings.
Yeah.
So the Haslams who own the Browns. I still think he could say no to all those teams. I don't think the Mannings want him on a total rebuild bad team. You know,
interesting.
Because
I don't know about that.
I'm not positive. The Mannings, they've said no. Peyton famously didn't want to go to the Jets. There's a lot of rumors about what actually happened there.
Yeah.
But I think they didn't say, he didn't go to Ole Miss for college.
No.
He did not go to LSU for college.
Nope.
He did not go to Tennessee for college. So the Mannings will turn on their own. He went to totally off the grid to Texas because he wanted to play with Sark, and Texas is awesome, and they have tons of money. So I think there is some precedent of the Mannings turning down their old friends.
Can I say something that may be crazy, which is this is the perfect place to do it because it's a radio show, right? Are we sure Arch is that dude? Are we sure he's like that? Because we've seen him play.
Are we going here?
We've seen him play. And he looks good when he's lighting up against, you know, Mississippi State or, you know, some nobody university, as Doug Gottlieb said. But I still want to see a full season from him. Like, I want to see, like, we're just anointing him the number one pick. And later in the show, we're going to rank our top 10 quarterbacks. So we're going to see someone else's top 10 quarterbacks. I didn't really see him on those lists. Like, I'm like, are we sure he's the surefire number one pick next year? Like, I'm not saying he isn't. I'm just saying I want to see the evidence first.
This crap is crap.
We're going to have to cut that out of the podcast, the anti-Arch stuff right there. I can't believe EJ. Well, I'm giving you a hard time. You're absolutely right. Our good friend Quincy Avery, quarterback trainer, 2 years ago on the show said, you know, I haven't seen Arch in a college setting yet, but I got to tell you, his last name is making a lot of people jump to conclusions. If his name was not Arch Manning, I think he'd be viewed as a blue chip prospect, but not necessarily generational, which actually sounds like a hot take, but it's not a hot take. If you actually sit back and say, what have we actually seen from Arch? You know, he has looked really good.
He looked good.
Yeah, he looks really good.
He hasn't done anything to say that he can't be that guy, which is why I think people are very excited about him. For me, it's just I want to see more. Like when he went into that game against Georgia, now, you know, those are carnivores playing on that defense. So I understand how hard that is. But you pull Ewers and, you know, Arch was in there, which a lot of people were excited about.
In the middle of the game with no rhythm, that was not good.
I get it, but just, you know, you want to see some signs, right? We've seen, you know, great players enter a game, and because they don't have tape on you, you're able to change a game. He wasn't able to do that in that kind of game. And then we saw him being used like Tim Tebow, where he was a battering ram on short yardage plays. And I told you guys, I think the Mannings told, you know, cut that out. And then we didn't see it anymore. So I just want to see a full season of what he has. He has all the physical tools. Yep. He has a great arm. He's a great athlete. But I want to see him put it together for a season before I just jump in and say, yeah, he's definitely the number one pick next year or the year after that.
Okay. We're talking about bad trades. Are interesting. Eli was part of a trade with the Giants and the Broncos. Kind of worked out for both teams in a sense. Because I think that
the Chargers.
Chargers, right. The Chargers took Philip Rivers, who is a Hall of Famer. It could have been a lot worse. The Chargers also, I think, were they involved? Was it a trade for Michael Vick?
I was going to say, that was the other one I was going to bring up. I keep thinking about
But they got Drew Brees.
They got Drew Brees in the second round. They drafted LaDainian Tomlinson.
Yeah, so that actually was a win-win in a sense because Michael Vick was perfect in Atlanta. Then that fell apart. But we want to hear your bad trade, the trade that keeps you up at night, the guy that your team dealt away. I'm from Philadelphia. I have a whole list of guys. Or second question, is the Luka Doncic trade already on the list as the all-time worst NBA trade? Could be 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We're also trying to track down our draft insider. Might be grinding tape in a place that has no cell reception. But we're going to hear from Ryan Wilson during the show as well. Figure out Shador is visiting Pittsburgh. I have bet on 9 different golfers to win the Masters. I'm spread. This is
1-800.
No little bets. I mean, listen, you guys want to jump on this with me? If all of a sudden, let me pull one of my, you know, Keegan Bradley comes out of nowhere, our Ryder Cup captain, and he wins, free breakfast for everybody.
I mean, look, I want free breakfast.
Fingers crossed.
I'm rooting for you. I guess the question though becomes, because you talk about, we've joked about how I brag about saying I was right about certain things. Can Perloff brag about getting one of these Masters winners right if he bets 9 guys? I don't think he can.
The question is not can I. The question is will I, and the answer to that is yes.
That's why I didn't ask that question, because I know the answer to that question. I'm saying for the rest of us, normal folks, can we look at him and say that he deserves credit for betting the right person when he's put in half the field? I don't think he can. It's like the March Madness tournament. You can't have 9 brackets
and then say,
hey, I got the right guy.
You know what I just did? I did the 9 brackets. You're exactly right.
One of those?
Yeah. Well, in this case, I am. We'll see. Hey, come on. There's 100 golfers out there. If I can bet on 9 of them and one of them wins, you're out of free breakfast.
Why?
Yes, I get his OJ.
Yeah. When my guys, one of my long shots wins, when Jason Day puts on the green jacket, you are not getting a bagel, EJ Stewart. Sorry.
Right, I'm an objective observer here, sitting in the host chair.
Getting extra locks.
Asking the right questions.
No, it's the wrong question. Because it is obvious that I will brag to no end. Although, when we first started the show, I nailed a couple majors picks. I got Cam Smith at the British Open, and Maggie's like, wow. Maybe Perloff does know golf.
That was where we got the Cam Smith impersonation, right?
Hello, mates. It's Cam Smith.
Sorry, audience, for that.
Yeah. that's on EJ, too. Yeah, keep screwing up here. Maggie, hope you're enjoying your vacation. Get back soon. No, I'm just kidding. And by the way, Manny, have you figured out where Maggie is yet?
Yeah, I actually got a text message from Maggie this morning.
What did she say?
She said that she's in the mountains of Dagestan. She is trying to become a UFC champion in 2 to 3 years.
Oh, so she's just lying to you.
So Maggie is in Dagestan trying to become a UFC world wrestler.
Okay.
I knew I shouldn't have asked. All right. Topic of the day, bad trades. Give us a call with your favorite bad trade, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Next, we're going to get into an NFL team that's saying they are win now. Win now? This team is win now? You'll find out which team we're talking about next, Maggie and Perloff Show. Theme of the day is bad trades. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Maggie's out. EJ Stewart is in. After Luka torched his former team, the Mavericks, last night, we've been having a great time today looking back at some of the bad trades. EJ, you have a list of NFL trades. Some of them are draft day trades a little bit, but man, you hear some of this, you're like, they did that?
Yeah, there's some, especially the draft ones, that you kind of forget, right? Because some of them maybe happened weeks or months before the draft. But like, for example, I know we've had this guy on the show, he's a friend of the show, Ryan Leaf. I forgot that the Chargers actually moved up one spot to trade. They traded their number three pick, which ended up being Andre Wadsworth, who was actually a good player. And they ended up moving, Chargers moved up to number two. Is that qualify as a bad trade? Because technically they would not have drafted Ryan Leaf.
No,
traded up.
That's the Mitch Trubisky situation. They didn't have to give up a lot, though, because they only moved up one pick.
Well, they moved up one pick, but they made other, that was a massive trade. So they traded their second rounder in 98 also, who became Corey Chavis, who was like a veteran. And then they traded their 1999 first rounder as well. That became David Boston. So, and Eric Metcalf was also in this trade. So they were good players that were in this trade.
Yeah, but Ryan Leaf is probably unfairly so always on the bust list.
I know, exactly.
He has a podcast called Bust. So that is, by the way, I don't know if I told you guys yesterday, I did this little thing on draft day. They mentioned Ryan Leaf in there. It was totally an unnecessary shot at him. The Kevin Costner movie. What about the Trey Lance trade? What turned out to be Trey Lance. The Niners trade up, give up a lot to go from 12 to 3, presumably to get Mac Jones, and then they draft Trey Lance and doesn't fit at all.
And those are the interesting ones, too, because what happens when a team makes a bad trade, but they don't really feel the terrible downsides of it, right? Like, Trey Lance was a bust for them. Like, they didn't even really play him. But they got Brock Purdy. They went back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
They've been a great team. You know, last year was a bad year, but like the Niners were still the Niners despite that trade. So even though the trade did not work, does it go up to the level of some of the worst trades ever if the team themselves didn't really get hurt by it?
That's a great point. I would not put it on the list for that very reason. They took a shot with Trey Lance. As John Lynch has said, we took a shot, didn't work out. You know, the defending champion Eagles have taken some shots, haven't worked out. They signed Bryce Huff last year.
Yeah.
One of the worst signings of the entire offseason. Overpaid for the pass rusher, did nothing, and they were just fine. They won the Super Bowl. So if you're a strong enough organization, you can absorb a bad trade. I don't think the Mavericks are. I don't think they're going to absorb this.
And then the other one we were talking about before the break, and then staying with the draft stuff, what happens if you make a trade that maybe wouldn't be so bad if you didn't then make a terrible pick to replace that guy? So the Rams traded Jerome Bettis to the Steelers because they thought they were going to get a younger, spryer, better running back in Lawrence Phillips, who wasn't in part of the trade, but they drafted him very high.
Right.
And he had all these legal issues and all these problems. Where does that fit in? Where the trade was bad already, but then what makes it worse is the moves you made that had nothing technically to do with the trade. Mm. Like, does Jerome Bettis going to the Steelers qualify? I mean, he was an all-time great Steeler and he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, but I don't know if the Rams were going anywhere with Jerome Bettis necessarily.
Right.
And by the way, all that did eventually, maybe my timeline is, led to the greatest show on turf. So that's another team that worked out just fine.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, because of course, if a trade doesn't work out, you find a guy stocking groceries and you put him in at quarterback, and then you get Marshall Faulk, and all is good.
I was gonna say, you don't think a 250-pound running back would have worked well in Mike Martz's short Turk offense?
Yeah. Gosh, I saw a highlight. I saw the special of the most exciting college players of all time, Marshall Faulk at San Diego State. Wow. Okay, so we want to hear your bad trades. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's go to Bryce in British Columbia, wants to talk a little hockey. Bryce, what do you got?
For me, I'm a diehard Maple Leafs fan, so it would be trading Tuukka Rask for Andrew Raycroft.
Oh, God. Dude, you don't have to tell me, buddy. That one kept me up at night.
If they didn't do that trade, they would never eventually got Mitch Marner and Austin Matthews. So,
right. Oh, there you go. So it worked out. Well, it hasn't worked out with a cup, but it's worked out.
Or even a playoff series.
Yeah.
Maybe Blues can't get out of the first round. But I guess that's still, again, that's like they've been this way for years, though. So it was kind of like a wash, I guess. I don't know if it was on the worst, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Bryce. Bogus, you're our hockey insider
Hard
here
pass.
At Magdy
yeah.
Show. What is the no?
I mean, I remember this trade. What as you do?
What's the Herschel Walker trade of the NHL? What is the Luka Doncic trade of the NHL? Is there one that was
well,
just
I mean,
crazy?
The Gretzky trade Edmonton to LA was bonkers for 19 different reasons.
But Gretzky forced that, right?
No, the Edmonton Oilers owner was like a crook.
Yeah,
and was running out of money, and he had to sell Gretzky.
What did he get back? Just money? Mostly money?
Money, picks, and players, but obviously, not that you could ever replace Gretzky, but it didn't work.
I guess the other really bad hockey trade is Patrick Waugh, right? That was an infamous trade where
he quit on the bench.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe they had no choice but to trade him because the situation was untenable. But then he goes to Colorado, he wins Stanley Cups, he's still one of the all time great goalies when he gets there. So that was also not great.
And I should point out, the Oilers won a cup after trading Gretzky.
No way.
So they didn't like fall apart. Yeah. But the bigger story is like Canada's collective heart broken by them trading him out of Edmonton to L.A. and then finding out why it all was going down.
Here's I have the competition. 3 first-round picks, 2 players, and $15 million. Gosh. $15 million nowadays.
In 1990 what?
Yeah.
Which is, you know.
I don't have the year here, but right. And the NHL, too. $15 million in the NBA right now. What will that get you? Like a third-string shooting guard?
Yes, a shooting guard on skates.
Yeah, well, that one certainly qualifies. Bogus, you have not, you know, you have some really bad teams. I feel like you should be haunted by some bad trades.
But nothing feels like the Nets-Celtics trade is the only like historically bad trade. Like there are small ones within the Rangers and the Mets that bother me still today, like Mike Bordick and Melvin Mora in a trade, like stuff like that.
But the Mets with all those bad contracts, they never made a bad trade.
They did.
I looked at list.
I mean, they
the
signed Jason Bay. They signed Bobby Bonilla.
Mo Vaughn.
Trading Tom Seaver away.
Yeah, I mean, but that's
Tom
before
Seaver
me.
Tom Seaver and Nolan Ryan. Okay.
But those are before me. I didn't live through either one of those things.
How did they let Tom Seaver and Nolan Ryan out of the building?
Well, I think they were not the only people who didn't understand what Nolan Ryan was. Mm-hmm. Like, because he, at least early, he was a reliever. And yes. I think he had control issues and he didn't know how to not throw the ball like through the backstop. So I don't
Nuke LaLoosh from Bull Durham style.
Yeah, I think that deal obviously got far worse in hindsight. But like the Seaver one, in the moment, people revolted. They got nothing for him.
Again, was it about money?
I don't know what that was about. Like I don't know the full backstory.
Yeah, they talked about it in the 86 Mets documentary. I forgot what it was about, but essentially, you know. They didn't allow Tom to finish his career as a Met, which is ludicrous.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think about where those guys are in the history of baseball right now. Nolan Ryan, by the way, had many seasons where he had more losses than wins. I do not understand that at all.
Sounds like the Seaver thing was a contract dispute. Was that part of the matter? They didn't want to sign him long term, I assume.
SNY has the five best and worst Mets transactions. Tom Seaver is at number one. Lenny Dykstra, number two.
Oh, for Juan Samuel.
That's right, to the Phillies.
I was at the first game that Juan Samuel played as a Met, and it was not, they were not nice to him, as if he was the reason why the trade happened.
How about in 92 when David Cohn was sent to the Blue Jays?
Yeah, for Jeff Kent.
99, Jason Isringhausen was sent to the Athletics.
Izzy was a bust here, though.
Oh, my God.
And Scott Kazmir to the Devil Rays for Victor Zambrano and Bartolome.
That's
for
my bad Mets trade.
What do we think about the Barry Bonds trades and the low-income teams giving away their superstars? Do those count as bad trades? I assume, actually, I don't remember the compensation.
The Marlins got nothing for Giancarlo Stanton in retrospect when they traded him at, gave up on him.
What did the Pirates get for Barry Bonds?
They trade Barry Bonds?
No, he just left.
He was a signing.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they got nothing for Barry Bonds. They let that guy, and I'm sorry, I should remember this. They let that guy walk out of the building for nothing.
Yeah, I don't think they traded him to the Giants.
Nope, he left as a free agent.
Yeah.
That was a mistake.
Because they were really, they were title contender, right? They had the Triple Bs and, the Killer Bs, rather. So I think they were trying to just play out the string. They were like, hey, let's hope we win a title with these guys.
But nowadays,
Bonilla and Bonds left.
That guy would always be traded at the deadline. They don't let guys like that get to the deadline anymore. I mean, past the trade deadline.
You say that, but then we saw the Angels do it with Ohtani, where that was more bizarre because they were not a title team. Like right. The Pirates, they were competing for championships. The Angels were competing for fourth place.
But the Angels hoped they could resign him. They tried everything to resign him. The Pirates were not trying to compete for Barry Bonds.
Correct.
So baseball, that one sure seems like it would qualify. That did not work out well.
Bonds left the Pirates for a then record $43.75 million over 6 years.
$7 million a year.
Wow. I don't know if Todd Gibson would get that contract.
$95.2 million in 2024.
There's an argument that maybe the Pirates today wouldn't give that contract to Barry, the same Barry Bonds.
You mean a 65-year-old Barry Bonds?
No. Like in that same scenario, Bonds at that same point is the same player, like an all-timer already, hitting the open market, and he goes, I'll stay for 7-42, and they go, we'll pass.
Oh, Paul Skeens to the Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, that's coming. That's next.
That hits the worst trade list. Yeah.
It's a disgrace. I'm sorry. That whole aspect of baseball is the one thing that is, look, I'm a Mets fan and I guess my team benefits from that, but I don't think it's okay. Like I want to see the best competition everywhere. I want to see stars everywhere. And seeing these teams just give up on their own fans essentially by letting these guys walk when those owners get the pocket on those profits, it's just low life stuff to me. It will never be okay.
How do you do this?
It's funny because I'm looking at a lot of lists of bad Major League Baseball trades, and the Bonds one, because it's free agent, but Sosa's on there a lot. Mm. That's a little weird because, yes, it was a bad trade to let him go to the Cubs, but, come on, that doesn't count, does it?
Yeah, well, it's like maybe they, the wrong trainer, right? Maybe.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, traded for whoever Sosa's trainer was.
And obviously the A's have let a lot of guys go. McGuire.
What's the John Smoltz for Larry Anderson?
Yeah, that's on a lot of lists.
Yeah, but Smoltz was a prospect at that point, I think.
Yeah,
and then he became John Smoltz. What's the famous Yankee one that's a Seinfeld joke too? Jay Buhner.
How could we just play that?
Okay.
And then in the season finale,
I don't listen to the show.
You don't know what you're doing.
The season finale. The series finale. George's dad stands up and says, how could you sign a Rabu? Remember that? Everyone said it was going to be great.
Hideki.
Yeah,
I see Mookie Betts. He's going to be up there. Like that trade. There's
killed the Red Sox. Yeah. I mean, they're back now, but still, that was.
That's a good Luka comp because no one wanted him to go, and Red Sox fans were pissed and heartbroken that he's gone,
and can't understand why the Red Sox would have to cheap out.
Right.
Amazing. All right, what do you got? Headlines.
Well,
Bogus.
As expected, it was an emotional night in Dallas. Luka crying during a pregame video tribute. Fans cheered him, chanted for Nico Harrison's job again. Luka then matched his season high with 45 points plus 8 rebounds, 6 assists, and 4 steals as the Lakers cruised to a 112-97 win. J.J. Redick, impressed.
His ability to then go perform, lights turn on, he's teary-eyed still as we walk out on the court for the tip ball. To have the emotional resolve to then go put on that kind of performance, It's superhuman.
Definitely no hyperbole there. The Laker win, clinching them a top six seed, so no play-in again for LeBron.
In the format that it is right now, anytime you get some rest, I speak for myself. Anytime I can get a week off from not playing ball, I'll take it. I'll take it.
The Lakers are still third in the West this morning, a game better than the Nuggets and Clippers, both of whom won last night. Denver 124-116 in Sacramento in their first game since their coaching change. The Thunder gave SGA, Lou Dort, and Isaiah Hartenstein the night off and still won in Phoenix 125-112. That's the Suns' eighth loss in a row. It officially takes them out of play-in contention.
You want to talk about worst trades ever?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Bradley Beal. I mean, come on. Like, and just worst big threes ever? I mean, the Suns are going to be on that list, too. I mean, they were, again, Pearl thinks I'd ever, you know, count my L's. I had the Suns winning the championship this year. So that shows you just how bad this thing has gone. This was a team that should have been contending, and they're not even in the playoffs.
Well, KD is in two bad big threes, though.
Yeah, he's Brooklyn as well.
Yeah. And Brooklyn, of course, has had two of the top five bad big threes of all time. Sorry, folks.
That's okay. The Bulls took a one-game lead on the Heat for ninth in the East with a 119-111 win over Miami. Josh Giddey, 28 points, 16 rebounds, 11 assists. And lastly from the NBA, oops.
Dowd Jr. goes back to get it. Pass it off to Dribble to the right perimeter. Driving on two members of the Wiz. Hangs, fires. Oh, man, it's good. He got a new season high. 26 points.
How dare you, Jeff Doughton Jr., a career high 30 to snap the Sixers' 12-game losing streak.
Who?
122-103 in Washington.
One more time, please, the name.
Is that G League? It was
he is a G League player. I'm pretty sure that's the Jeff Doughton that played at Rhode Island in college. So that's an A-10 player.
Did you ever see him play live?
If it's the same Jeff Doughton, then I definitely did.
I don't think there's two Jeff Doughtons.
There's a senior because he's Jeff Doughton Jr. And my mind is mush. So I could be completely making this up.
This is a part of NBA season where guys play and you're like, sure. Like, you're telling me he's an NBA player, then I'll believe it. And that's bad for me because I love this league.
Yep. From Rhode Island.
There it is.
Rhode Island.
So now he gets to say he scored 30 in an NBA game for the rest of his life.
Yes.
With no context of it was April 9th. I was on the Sixers in a 12-game losing streak playing the Wizards, who barely had a team because they wanted the number one pick in that draft.
Do you remember when Malachi Flynn put up a 50 spot?
Yes.
Yeah, I remember that as well.
Yeah.
Corey Brewer did it once, too. Yeah,
well, Corey Brewer is a bigger player than those guys.
Yeah, but I mean a role player, like not a star or at all. I think Terrence Ross has had some huge games. During the broadcast last night, I saw Mike Breen noted to Richard Jefferson that I think he's top 50 all-time in games played. And Richard Jefferson was kind of like, I guess that's something I can tell my kids. But is that a stat that you can brag about?
Most games?
Yeah, games played.
It's not bad. He probably made a pretty penny.
Yeah, I mean, definitely made him rich.
He's also very funny on air, so that helps.
Yeah, he likes to crack a lot of jokes.
Yeah.
So he handled it well.
I'm a Richard Jefferson fan. I was a fan as a player, too. That team almost won, too. They came so close.
The Nets? Yeah. He was those teams, man, you want to talk about, you know, trades that could have happened. What if the Spurs would have traded Tony Parker for Jason Kidd? Would that have actually worked? Like, would they have won titles?
Who knows?
Jason Kidd kind of fell apart a little bit towards the end of that.
I thought when the Nets got my guy Vince Carter from Toronto, that was the trade. All right, Bogues, what else?
The Steelers, you were just talking about, they're still busy investigating non-Aaron Rodgers quarterback. Shedeur Sanders visits Pittsburgh today. Syracuse QB Kyle McCord expected in town next week. Jalen Milroe reportedly meeting with the Giants, Rams, and Seahawks over the coming days after hanging with the Browns on Monday. And Pearl, for you, we're going to do a quick soccer aggregate lesson here, going back to
hour number one.
Okay,
hit me. I'm taking notes.
So in the knockout rounds of most tournaments, teams play a home-and-home series, and the winner is based off the total score from those two games.
Oh, like in the World Cup?
No.
I thought in the World Cup in the opening round.
No, World Cup is group play and then straight.
In your group, I thought it was like how many goals you had, right? No?
Well, that's goal differential.
Oh, that's not
that's
what
a tiebreaker.
Is.
No, aggregate is you play two games and you add up the scores, then you see who wins.
I have no idea what you're talking about. And that's so. Isn't that the same thing as goal differential? As
no,
a
because in group play you play three matches, and if there are ties,
have to have a tied record.
Yeah,
right. So aggregate, it doesn't even matter what your record is; it's just the goal count.
Right.
Ooh.
So like if you win 1-0, but then I win 2-0, I move on because I win 2-1 overall.
Regardless of the win-loss record.
Correct.
Got it.
And so, then home road goals mean more.
Road goals is the initial tiebreaker, right, which is where we get to last night. This is the second leg, as they call it, Inter-Miami, LAFC, CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinals. Inter-Miami was already down 1-0, gave up a goal last night. So now they're down 2-0 on aggregate, and they've allowed a road goal for LAFC. So they had to score 3 goals last night, give up 0 to advance, and that's what happened.
Messi from the penalty spot can give Inter-Miami the lead on aggregate in the CONCACAF Champions Cup quarterfinal if he could put this away on Hugo Lloris. And he does!
That's John Strong, FS1. The Messi PK came in the 84th minute. He also scored in the first half to begin their rally. So Inter-Miami moves on 3-2 on aggregate and gets to play the Vancouver Whitecaps in the semifinals.
Vancouver defeated Pumas of Mexico.
On away goal tiebreaker, I think.
Look at that. And you know what? Even in Europe, they don't have the away goal anymore. So what's CONCACAF doing? I digress.
Bogues, you seem really annoyed with me, but I found that very helpful.
I'm not annoyed with you.
Yes, that was actually, I'm going to explain to another friend later today what on aggregate means. I'm like, yeah, of course it was a goal on aggregate. Well, like
Sarah.
We have to put Perloff to the test. We've got Champions League this afternoon, 3:00. So it'll be the first leg of the quarterfinals of Champions League. So.
No, we've got Europa today. It's Thursday.
Oh my goodness. I thought today was Wednesday.
No,
yeah,
Champions League is done.
Europa.
Well, aren't you going to be watching the Masters?
No, I'm going to be watching the Europa League. Are you kidding me?
Oh boy. Well, both we could agree we're not watching bad NBA basketball. Who I have already forgotten the name. Who? Jeff Doughty Jr.?
Doughton.
Robert Downey Jr.
Yes.
You want to do relegation next hour?
NBA should do relegation.
Yeah.
All right, but we're not doing that today. Today we're doing bad trades. We got a lot of them, and you guys are calling in with great ones. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Soccer trades don't count, by the way, because that's all about money, right? There's no, like, real soccer trades. Am I right, folks?
Well, very seldom do you actually get players exchanged.
It's right?
It's
about
usually just money being exchanged for a player.
Who's going to buy? But I like the trades where it was really where both teams thought they were getting players that we're going to win, and one team was dead wrong, like the Mavs and the Lakers. We'll get to that next, right here, Maggie and Perloff Show.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between.
upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
As yesterday. Oh, I have the wrong lyrics. Okay, this portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on now. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. But don't wait. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. Does that song exist other than That 70s Show?
I don't think so. I've never heard it. I mean, I've only heard it since that show came out.
Yeah, if it does, sorry, we apologize. Andrew, by the way, is on the board today. EJ was saying some not nice things about him earlier. No, I'm just kidding. EJ, for all his flaws when it comes to NBA opinions, lifelong Knicks fan, that's all I need to say, is the most supportive coworker there is in this building. I will give you that.
I appreciate that. Yeah, yeah. No, it's true. I mean, I see the good in all people. So, of course, I never throw Scarpacci under the bus.
EJ was the first one who trained me on the board.
Exactly. There you go.
I'm the opposite. Everybody in this industry is like, oh, man, I can't wait to mentor younger people. I do not like young, talented people coming from behind. Like, it's I am rooting against all of them. I remember, was it Sports Illustrated when Pablo Torre came along? Everyone's like, isn't he great? I'm like, no. No, he's not great. He's not great. I don't want somebody who's younger and smarter than me in the building. It's a consistent problem. Anyway, that sounds a little bitter.
Yeah, it does.
No, it's called honest. I'm the only honest person on air.
Well, that is, yeah, it is honest. I can definitely confirm that.
I'm half joking. Only half. Let's get back to some bad trades. Give us your worst trade for your franchise, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's go to Juan in Oakland. Juan, what is the trade that still haunts you?
Yes, hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. The worst trade, since I'm a big Raider fan, will be back in 2019 when the Raiders traded for Antonio Brown.
Oh, there was so much hype. Is that when he froze his feet?
Yes, that was when he was in Napa. Yeah, making a big deal. And they were in Hard Knocks, too.
I actually was psyched for that. I thought that was going to work out. Because obviously, he had all the talent. Listen, it's been kind of a rough road for your Raiders. Thank you, Juan. That was a trade that I think we look back on now saying the Raiders should have known. But at that exact time, we did not know. We did not know what Antonio Brown was going through.
No, he was causing some issues in Pittsburgh. And the one thing I will never forget is him having that blue mustache going on the shop. Like, that was the one sign where I was like, this guy might not be all there.
Well, how'd he do on the shop?
He was throwing Ben Roethlisberger under the bus. He kind of was acting crazy on there. But what was that funny was that, like, LeBron and Maverick Carter were kind of like, ha, 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 ha. Like, they thought he was kind of, like, playing up a joke. And then they didn't realize they were sitting next to the Joker.
Yeah.
Like, they were sitting next to a guy who had some screws loose.
Well, I don't know if it's his Twitter handle or he always tweets CTESPN. Says in CTEs and brain trauma. So maybe that's exactly what happened with him.
I am one of those folks who definitely feel like there is a pre-Vontaze Burfict hit with Antonio Brown, post-Vontaze Burfict hit.
I mean, and absolutely.
Yeah, because he was not like this. I know that, you know, Ryan Clark would say, hey, I saw signs that he was maybe a guy you don't want to give money to, but he was not this overtly over the top before that hit. And it seemed like he got hit and was knocked out of that game, and then it was like we saw a different person after that. And we know what happens with concussions and CTE, that can happen to you.
Mr. Big Chest.
I have to check with our friend Rich Eisen, Infinity Sports Radio Network. I think he had Antonio Brown on after the perfect hit, and it was 2 weeks later, or it was maybe my former show, the Dan Patrick Show. Mm. His eyes were still red. Or you could see concussion symptoms in real time.
Yeah.
Because there was a time where Antonio Brown was very likable.
Yes, absolutely.
Popular, humble, small school guy. Of course, played with J.J. Watt in college.
Yeah.
Funny, I think they were on the same receiving corps because J.J. was a tight end and one in the Michigan, Central Michigan.
Central Michigan.
Yeah. He was a darling.
I know. Yeah, we should do that one day as a great debate of, you know, well, I guess we did, maybe heel turns. Yeah, we did that a couple weeks ago. But, I mean, we didn't mention Antonio Brown, but he's definitely up there.
Yeah, that perfect hit was crazy. And it cost the Bengals the game.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Then Juju Smith-Schuster, by one of the most underrated hits of all time, got perfect back the next year.
Yeah.
Juju Smith-Schuster, Mr. TikTok guy, is one of the toughest players ever at that position.
That's why he's getting signed.
He took perfect out like there was no tomorrow to get revenge. But it did affect AB. That's a great point. Let's go to Sean in Oregon. Sean, what do you got for a bad trade?
Hey, thanks for taking my calls this morning, guys. You got to put Deshaun Watson number one on there, brother.
Yeah.
That's got to be number one worst trade all ever. And then I think people forget how good Kareem was. Dude, Kareem was the very best player all my life. Mm. I mean, I got to put him for 11 years, he was first or second all defensive team. He was a scoring leader. He was like looking up to Gandhi for me. That's
so,
the guy, brother.
Sean, let me put you on the spot here. Do you have him ahead of either LeBron or Jordan on the all-time player list?
I think I do, brother. I think LeBron's kind of like right there. I think LeBron's kind of taken over as number one player. But look at what Kareem has done through different coaches, all different people around him. You know, I look at Michael Jordan. He's like Kobe Bryant, brother, and I'm going to still say this. He never did nothing before or after Phil Jackson. Look how he withered away.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's great. One of the greatest players, one of he was the dog in the fight. You know, that's those guys. But as far as like an IQ level, he ain't got the IQ of Kareem or LeBron, brother. Not at all.
Ooh,
have a great day, you guys.
Thank you, Sean. I appreciate your words about Kareem because I agree on that. Disagree on Jordan and IQ, but I do like exalting Kareem because he was awesome. Let's go to, is this Ham in East Bay, California? Ham, what do you got for a bad trade?
Hey, what's up? Good morning, guys. Worst trade ever. One of the rare ones that happens when they include the coach. The Oakland Raiders traded John Gruden away to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, only to lose to them in the Super Bowl the following season.
What did they get for it? But they got a pretty good pick, though. What did they get, Ham? They got a first rounder?
Yeah, I believe they got a first rounder. Yeah. But come on, they go and they learn the Raiders playbook just to choke in the Super Bowl against their former coach. Come on. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Ham. That's the first Super Bowl I've ever been to live was that.
They had two first round picks in that trade.
Wow, crazy. Bill Callahan took over. That was the first Super Bowl because I bought tickets because the Eagles were supposed to get to that Super Bowl.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was sure, and our buddy Tiki Barber's brother ruined all that. Rondé, the Eagles lost to the Bucks.
And Joe Jarvicious, too. Yeah. You go, Joe. You go, Joe. You go, Joe.
Shut up, EJ. Let's go to Larry. Larry in Omaha. Oh, this is one of my favorites. Larry, we don't have much time. Real quick, what is your bad trade?
Guys, there's nothing worse than the Milwaukee Bucks sending Dirk Nowitzki away for a robber tractor trailer. Worst trade ever, undeniable. War Marvin winning a sports Emmy. I'm out.
Wait, is that? Oh, okay. That's the DP show reference. Yeah. My replacement Marvin, who's also awesome, I might add. So I don't think that's fair either about Dirk because a bunch of other teams passed on Dirk as well. He fell to 9, and then Paul Pierce was 10.
It goes back to that whole draft day. Like, if a team drafts somebody for someone else, does that count as a bad trade?
All right, coming up, we'll talk a little more about Luka and the history of terrible, bad trades. Maggie and Perloff Show.
Waiting for the best deals? Spring Black Friday savings are here. Shop early access now at Blinds.com and save big on new custom window treatments. At Blinds.com, shopping online for custom window treatments doesn't mean sacrificing on service, selection, or style. As the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, Blinds.com has hundreds of options to fit any decor and budget. Choose from stylish roller or bamboo shades, blackout options, and more. We even have motorized shades for your patio. DIY, or let our experts handle the heavy lifting. Blinds.com has you covered with free virtual consultations. We'll even send a pro to do the measure and install. Try before you buy with free samples delivered to your door. With over 25 million windows covered, every order's backed with Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday Early Access now for up to 40% off with minimum purchase, plus a free measure. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.